Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
What if I told you I'd take you to a place you'd never been and do something to you that's never been done?
What's up, my strange and unusual friends, and welcome aboard the Mothership Radio Show. My name is Kevin Gassman, and for the next hour, we're going to be talking with blues recording artist Shirley King, who has a brand new album out called Blues for a King. Now, she's the daughter of B.B. King, so we're going to get a little bit into that, as well as other fascinating topics that'll leave you, hopefully, with a new perspective about, well, whatever we talk about, I guess, right? Let's get strange and unusual with Shirley King here on the Mothership Radio Show.
Open your mind real wide now.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
I've been listening to your album today. I really dig it. It's a nice eclectic mix of music you put together.
Oh, well, I wish I could take credit for that, but actually I have to be a very honest person. That was all done under the direction of Cleopatra Records and John. Well, I guess John got the guitar players together, but the record and the whole idea of it was put together by Cleopatra.
Blues for a King is the album title. So even the song selection was theirs, or did you kind of walked into like, what am I singing today?
I walked in saying, what am, no. I, actually, they put everything together, the title, the album cover, the I sung on tracks here in Chicago, and I sent it back to them, and they did everything from there. So I had no idea what was going to be happening until it came out on the 19th. I got the album maybe 5 days before the album came out.
Wow. Well, congratulations on it. It's a really nice album, and you did very well with it. So I really enjoy listening to it.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Shirley King is with us, and you are the daughter of B.B. King as well. So we might have to tap in a little bit of that as we move on with this conversation. But we're going to talk about the strange and unusual here. The Mothership Radio Show is what I call my radio show. And, you know, we talk aliens, UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, and everything in between. And
Bigfoot sound like my boyfriend.
I'm sure a lot of women can relate to that. So what is that, you know, when you hear that, aliens and UFOs, you know, what does that bring to your mind?
You know, I am a science fiction lover. I mean, I'm sitting right here right now looking at sci-fi. That stays on my TV all day. I don't know what it is about that side of life that draws me in, but I love looking at those kind of movies, and I love trying to figure it out. You know, I'm still trying to figure out about stuff like that, because I live in a world where sometimes I see a movie and then I'll see things happening in the world similar to the movie, you know, like this virus thing. I watch those kind of movies, so to actually see something actually happening to a movie site, I don't know. You know, I think the movie, there are some people that has a deep understanding of what's going on in another type of spiritual world. And then when you see things happening, like I said, this is so similar to what I saw on one of the sci-fis about the mist, I think they call it, where stuff was floating around in the air and it was making people go. And I just got through looking at another one like that. So it just seemed to be, this is something kind of reality going on, but we also get a chance to think about it, and we're living in it a little bit. I see this.
It's bizarre, and it's almost, you know, art imitates life, life imitates art, how that works out. I mean, it's almost as if these movies have not predicted, but maybe things have manifested from these movies. You know, you put these thoughts out there, you put these ideas out there, and somehow it just becomes into reality, regardless if it's a virus or if it's something else in the sci-fi world. It just seems like it produces automatically, because a lot of movies, like you said, they come to fruition, you know?
I just got through looking at one. I mean, you know, where the people are dead, running, chasing somebody, and it's from some virus that was let loose. I'm like, wait a minute, this sounds like what I'm living in today. Am I looking at a movie today, or am I dreaming again?
Right.
But you know, I think it's a connection here for the world to know that all these things that we think of mystifying might not be as strange as they seem. I don't know. I believe that.
I believe that too. And I think there's just a lot of people out there that don't want to accept that. You know, they just don't want to believe that there's anything else out there, or there's anything else that could be the reason or cause for why things are happening to us, you know, as human beings on this planet. You know, there's such a mystery that it's scary to look into. It's scary to find out why or how things work. It's easier to accept a simple answer as opposed to delve into the complexities of what's happening. You know, it's a very interesting perspective to look at, you know, on us as humans, on how we receive, you know, like the sci-fi movies, and whether you laugh it off as being something fake or go, wow, that could be real. I mean, and that has been real. This has turned into reality. Look at Star Trek. You know, all the stuff that they created in Star Trek are reality in today's world.
That's true. That is very, I'm telling you right now, when John told me this, I'm like, what? You know, I'm thinking, John, what are you doing to me? You know, but then I thought about it after I got through talking to him. I'm always looking, my television, 2 times out of 10, until I get tired of the reruns, it stays on sci-fi, and that's where all these kind of movies come on at. And when I'm watching them, it takes my mind in places of trying to figure out how these kind of movies can be. And then one day you wake up and actually it's actually happening here, because I'm sure no one won't accept we're not living in a day where stuff in the air making people sick and you can't see it. Sure. And when people be putting it on Facebook, I'll say, well, now y'all got something else. You can't see, but you believe it, okay? Mm. You talk God is not real. But I think when people don't want to deal with reality, you know, we have to deal with reality to know that some things are deeper, but because we have not accepted, like people don't think God is nothing you should be dealing with. You can't see him, but you know, you feel like sometimes your blessing come from it. And you got a virus here that they talking about is making you sick, and you can't see that neither.
Right.
So, you know, if you go to thinking about the reality of what would, and you know, people don't like to look at death as a way of when you die, you don't completely die, your spirit lives on. People don't like accepting things that they can't understand. They just don't.
Right. They don't want to. It shatters their paradigm, and it shatters everything they've thought and believed in. And, you know, it's like, you kind of wish everyone would take a certain type of drug and kind of open their mind a little bit, you know, the red pill, blue pill situation. And just to say, there's a lot more to it than what you're looking at. You just got to look at it and, you know, believe in it. And I've been open-minded my whole life. Ever since I was a kid, I've always been open-minded to not being isolated into my own religion or to my own ideology. It's always been, I've always looked at life as being a third party to this planet. I've always looked at it from afar. So maybe I've been blessed that way or cursed that way, however you want to look at it. I think there's just a lot of people out there that, like you said, they just don't want to believe it. They just accept what they have and that's it. And, you know, that's why if like aliens ever showed themselves to this planet, you know, a third of this population would probably kill themselves. They wouldn't be
able to. I live with a guy, and I told him, I think this, if he had recorded this song, I probably would have him on here talking to you, because, you know, if you talk too much like this, then you're crazy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so when he's talking, he talks a lot about outer space. He wanted to go to Las Vegas because they were saying someplace up in Vegas where, you know, you can't go and blah, blah, blah. And so this situation right here, it's opening up some minds of people that's already into deepness to know that, you know, we was just talking the other day and he was saying something about, you know, some aliens already here and we don't, you know, we wouldn't really know. And I'm saying that could be true, because everything has to have the similarity of people, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to deal with it. I mean, you know, if somebody was here looking way, way different, You know, if you can't deal with people looking different,
right,
what would you do if something like that was walking around here? So if they are here and disguised to look like us, we wouldn't know the difference anyway. And I don't know. You know, I don't say no and I don't say yeah, because I want to believe that God created this atmosphere. And there are many mystifying things that we don't know. And there are some things, because we don't want to believe, we don't believe. Like I say, I look at a lot of movies like this, and most people, I don't like scary movies. Well, you know, you could be living in one right now. So thing is, I try to be open-minded about things. I don't say I know these things, but I know when my father was living, he would always sing, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away." And since he passed, since he left here, I talk to the son every day as my dad. And you know why? Because I can say something and the sun can be just sitting there and then it'll bloom at me really, really bright. And at first, people used to laugh and talk about me when I would say that. But now I got people coming on Facebook saying, "I see Daddy." And I'm like, okay, I got you. You see what I'm talking about? So spiritually, you know, we got spiritual things going on in the world today that we don't pay attention because our mind is not open. But I'd never say never. You know, I don't know how I would deal with something if it would walk up to me. And it wouldn't be of this earth or of this planet. I don't know, but I believe I would be able to understand, because I already somewhat believe that our movies that we look at, somebody's brilliant mind had to help create that movie. And how could it one day be a TV series? And you know, and you can see something of that life form already here. This virus reminds me of that.
It's you're 100% right. I'm the same way as you, as far as I'll believe it until you can show me it's not real.
That's true.
And
yeah,
you know, until then, it's real for me. And going back to the movies again, where these, whoever wrote these movies and put these together, how do we know they weren't given an idea outside of our realm? You know, how do they come up with this idea of the future of these, you know, pandemics or sci-fi situations long, long time ago? You know, I mean, a lot of these movies are still relevant to today. And how do we know that they weren't given an idea? Because, you know, I've done this radio show for 3+ years, you know, hearing stories from people going through abductions or alien encounters, being told and being planted ideas on how to, you know, fix our environment or fix our society or what have you. You know, some people act upon it, some people don't. So some people might give the idea of being creative to make a movie out of something they thought of. But how do we know this thought isn't from somewhere else? We don't.
It has to be inspired, because I'm telling you right now, I watched a movie called The Mist, I think it was. And it was where, you know, something was in the air and causing people to act a certain way. And how come now we're actually living in something that's killing us? And we have to wear face masks and everything and protect ourselves from it, because we don't know what it is. It's something in the air. That's very out of space right there, if you ask me.
It's extremely out of space, if you will. It's very bizarre, because I don't know if we as humans understand the frailty that we live in, you know, how frail we are as humans. You know, this is could be a precursor to something even stronger down the road. I mean, how are we going to handle something that's even, you know, that spreads even easier and makes even people more sick?
I already believe it is. I'm sorry. I, like I said, you know, I go out and do what I have to do, because I don't live in fear. I was raised up through the church, and we don't live in fear, you know, but I have enough sense to know that there is something happening here. There's something going on, but spiritually, I see it as a way, because the world has been so disobedient to God and his word and respecting him. How do you expect for a good father to stay a good father if you're a very bad kid? Hmm. Some kind of way, a bad kid has to be spoiled or punished.
Right.
And until we can get it right and respect God as we should, and you know, do the things that he wanted for his created world. And not only this, this is one thing that I can't talk about because it was funny, but I had to sit and think about this for a while. I drove out one day, and sometimes I just get in the car, drive, not to go around and be around nobody or be stuck in a crowd. I am very lonely because I'm a people person. So I'm missing people hugging and loving. I'm missing that a lot. But what I do, look like I don't turn more to want to be friends with Mother Nature's creatures, the birds. And I went out the other day and they had a juice for a certain kind of juice for the birds. I bought that. It has some stuff that my fruits and nuts for the birds. I bought that because now I'm enjoying the things that I used to take for granted. Now, this could be another thing that's happening. If we go to loving those things that's not like us, like the birds and the squirrels and all these world animals, then something come out of space or something. If we would encounter something like that, I think we would be more ready for it because our loneliness have made us realize, even if I have to be friends with the birds, I'd be happier than being in this world alone. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the prejudice and going on, people gonna realize how much they need people, and it ain't gonna matter what color they are, or who they are, whatever. Now, I was driving one day, and I'm looking at a bunch of ducks. I've never really seen this before, and I'm 70 years old. A bunch of ducks walking together like now they control. I used to hardly see no ducks. Now they whole families and droves of them walking. They going across the street, and guess what? You got to stop to let them cross the street, and they directing the traffic. So they walk across the street. Then you're looking at these animals and things that's coming out, just enjoying what we didn't enjoy. Then they were saying how good the how much the air quality was since we've been locked in. How it's saying something about the world getting better for the creatures that's been locked up because the creatures that's been running free have not respected this earth. Now, that's pretty deep right there. That's deep.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that 100%. I take a walk every day and around my neighborhood, and you know I see lizards, I see birds, I see squirrels. I mean, everything. And you know, when I walk near them, they run away from me. And I'm an animal lover. I love animals, and I try not to throw out a bad vibe. You know, I try to be not afraid of any animals, but I think you're right. I mean, as long as we're not out there, they're going to feel more comfortable to come out themselves and dominate the space that they used to dominate. And, you know, here we are, you know, building, you know, cement roads and buildings and taking away their land for the most part. We're not respecting our land. And you're right. I think it does come down to the point of being punished as human beings for the way we've been treating this planet and each other.
And, they actually don't run from me. I mean, this is why I got involved. I was sitting out in the yard, and I'm like, man, I'm lonely. I need to be around people. I'm just going to take my chance getting sick because I need to be around people. You know, I'm thinking how hurtful it is to be disconnected. You know, I've heard the old saying, how would you live on an island if you was on that island by yourself? I was like, I would go absolutely crazy because I'm a people person. So I start being outside swinging, and I'm watching the birds, and they flying free and look like they happy that they ain't got to run from the pollution that we have created on the earth. They are enjoy, and they don't run from me. They actually sit there and like, thank you. It looks like they telling me, thank you for buying us some food. They appreciate. And then I was playing my music. I did a remake on Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. I was playing it. I was sitting in the backyard playing my music. And the bird must have liked the song because first he was flying around eating the food, and then he'll fly away and he'll come back. Then when the music was playing, he just sit there. And then he stopped, and then he got closer and closer. He didn't come right up on me, but he got close enough to sit there and listen to that complete song. When the song went off, he flew away and started doing something. I said, wait a minute, I might be imagining. Let me do this again. I put it back on again. He flew back, came back, and came closer again and sit there till the song went off. Huh. Now, I found that to be interesting, and now the birds got my attention. So they got me going out there buying them food, trying to find nice houses for them. I'm going to be nice to all creatures of God because I want to be blessed. No matter how much time I got left on this earth, I want something to be a blessing to me. And then the squirrels was jealous because I had bought this for the birds and they was eating. And my friend was telling me how the squirrels were trying to figure out ways to jump down and eat the bird food. So I went the other day and bought the squirrels some food and bought them a little place to eat at. I mean, I'm just taking this. I don't want nobody to think I'm mentally disturbed, but it's really been a treat believing in God wanted us to learn how to appreciate what he created, because if we don't, there are other creatures that he created that will enjoy and will treat our earth better. And I believe that's a little bit. And I think when we come back out here to appreciate the world we live in, not being locked in where we can't be going nowhere and being told what to do and walking around with masks and stuff on, I think we'll come back out with a different attitude. I really believe it's going to happen.
I think you're right. I believe that what we're going through right now is a time of self-reflection, to see what kind of people we really are and what kind of people we really want to be. Having this downtime that we all have, it's something to really think about. And I hope more people are taking what you're doing, you know, to heart and doing those things as well. I take my walk every day. I try not to step on ants. I try not to step on anything. I you know, it's their world too. We're just a part of it, you know. Being a part of this world, I was just watching a documentary the other day. It's not really a documentary. It's actually a lecture by a man named Lloyd Pye. And it's called Everything You Know Is Wrong. And the gist of it is that human beings are not indigenous to this planet.
That's true. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because the theory is that another species of alien, if you will, created us to do work for them. But when you look at it, I mean, do you feel like you're part of the planet? Do you feel that, like nature is one of you? For me, I feel like, again, like I'm a third party to this. I feel like I'm an outsider. When Native Americans, they live off the land. We don't. I mean, for the most part, you know, we're not attached to nature, where we're detached. And you know, to get back into that, you know, it's going to take, I don't know what it's going to take. You know, it's a power outage to get us to learn how to start fire with sticks and stones. I mean, you know, sometimes I feel like we've kind of advanced too fast for ourselves, where we've really lost who we are and our connection to this planet. So whether we came from primordial ooze and became humans out of that, or we were created, as the Bible says, you know, out of Adam's rib, it's this documentary, this lecture kind of touches upon that. And it's a very fascinating perspective to look at on who human beings really are.
Well, you know, I'm really enjoying this. I'm getting scared of myself now, because when John told me this, I was like, John, come on now, you know. But I'm listening to you because, like I said, I have had a sense of repentance and change since this happened. First of all, feeling lonely, because man wasn't made to feel lonely. That was told in the Bible. You know how man was really lonely and pitiful, and God said, okay, I'm going to create woman from your ribs and everything. So it seems like we had never got a chance to be lonely. From the day you come in this world till the day you leave out, there's somebody around that you can love and talk to and hold. But then this thing done happened, and it's telling you can't go near your own family members. You can't go near somebody you love. Now, that's punishing me and taking me out of my atmosphere right there, because human beings are affectionate people, whether they like everybody or not. They do want to love who they love. And to be separated like this, it's kind of like, if it's showing you, you can't take this little bit of it, what about if it got so deep where you actually, even living on this earth, everybody had to be one by themselves somewhere and they couldn't see another human being? We are not dealing very well with being locked up. That's number one. So, and I think that's why the marches and everything, where people saying, okay, I know I'm not supposed to be crowding up on people and everything, but people are so been locked in and they feel so like out of control. They just march and they doing anything because for a month or two of being locked up, that's showing them right there. They're not ready for the insane world, the world that could be where nobody could have connection. We be locked up like the caged up animals and stuff. Because I'm telling you right now, the animals looking at us like, now y'all see how we feel. So let's see when you visit the zoo now, will you be staring there looking at us? Because, you know, they had run of the zoo. The zoo is letting the animals just, and no people is there. So they letting the animals kind of be free of being caged up. The animals outside of that, the animals in the world is kind of feeling a little bit freer about, you know, coming out. And your pet that you've always known had a human side. It's just, you know, they're being more loved. They're being put in the car, driven around, and there's people sleeping on the street. So all these things are flip-flop into the mystery that nobody's talking about, because nobody want to believe it has nothing to do with another side of what's happening. Nobody wants to really, you know, and when you look at too many scary movies, they just tell you it's just a movie. Well, a movie shouldn't be able to match what's actually going on, so I'm sorry.
No, you're right. That's a good point. You know, I'm curious, you know, being a blues artist, you know, with what we're going through now, I feel like blues could be more relatable and more relevant today than it has been in a long time. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. And the person before you, we talked about that because he asked a question very similar to what you just talked into. But he asked, and I say, of course, if you sit down and listen to certain songs, you will hear this. I mean, all the blues people sung about life, and it was about life here on earth. It wasn't about, you know, that's the difference in blues and gospel. Gospel sing about spiritual things. Gospel sing about things that you never experienced, but you believe. You know, you never seen God, but you will not bully up and say, there's no God. How could you say that if you don't really know it? But if the blues, if somebody was singing the blues, they'll sing about my baby leaving or when I first met you, baby. And they're singing about the world that they live in that they can foresee. When we sing gospel, we're praising God on somebody that's spiritual that we never met, but we know is he's real. That's the difference. And so when I was telling the guy today, I said, quite a few songs will fit today's activity, because the ones that I called from my daddy was like, I lived in this world, I've had everything that money could buy, but yet and still I've never had peace of mind. And that's where it seemed like people are at right now. They got things, they started grabbing for more things. They worship things. They don't care for each other no more, but it's all about things. Then he sings about, let's all get together and bring peace to the world. Well, it seemed like people going to have to go through some more changes before that can happen, because people don't understand. You're the one that messed up the world. The world wasn't messed up until you came in and started making rules, started mistreating people, and started doing the things you're doing. You know, if the world had stayed peaceful, we all would have been living in paradise. We're not in paradise now because we've created a world of trouble, a world of sorrow, a world of hatred. We did this, you know, and we were given chances over and over and over. And I had already did Bible study with somebody, and they had told me 2020 was going to be like this. I don't know how they knew it. You know, maybe because they was a minister and they was doing spiritual thinking. But they already told me 2020, you know, everybody was looking forward to this. Everybody been talking about what all we going to do in 2020. And from day one, almost 2020, it's been hell on earth.
It's, you know, they say hindsight's 2020. This is the perfect year to look back and think what we could have done to prevent all of this. And that's what it is we're looking back, wow, we could have done this. We could have treated people better. We could have not have hate in our lives. We could, you know, it is a look back, even with the virus and how we're handling it. We could have done better. Everything is looking back on how we could have done better. And here we are reaping what we didn't do. We're reaping what we sowed.
There you go. That was that password. We're reaping what we sow. The animals see it. We don't want to admit it, but we are reaping what we sow. We had, when it was year 2000, people were bragging and talking about the earth going to come to an end. I mean, everybody had doom prediction of what was going to happen in 2000. It didn't. We had 20 more years to try to straighten up what we had messed up. And what did we do? It just got worse and worse and worse, and everybody's blaming it on something. It's politics. It's this. It's that. It's that. But it's all the things that we didn't do. Not some people didn't do. We all did not do something to bring this curse upon the world. It's a curse. We're in a curse. That's all this is.
There's a portion of our humanity, a portion of people, the population that just don't get it. And sometimes they're the ones that are in charge. So you sit back and I look at every year going, this is 2020. Why aren't we living better? Why aren't we treating people better now? Why is it getting worse? It shouldn't be getting worse. It should be getting better. Every year should be getting better, but we're regressing. It's a very strange. It's hard to pinpoint on why this is happening. And maybe this is the year where, the Band-Aid comes off and we all look at the wounds and try to heal so we don't go through this again. I'm an optimistic person, so I would hope that that would come about from what we're witnessing this year in and of itself. I mean, this year alone is packed with a lot of junk that, I just hope we can learn from this. That's all I can say is I hope we can learn as a people to know that, I have a saying, from space, we all look the same.
That's true.
And
if I cut you, you're going to bleed the same color blood I bleed.
Right.
I see a difference. It should be because you're a bad or a good person, not because of your color.
Right.
Now, the young people saying they ain't putting up with it. The young people said, forget that. We have learned to live together. We don't want your old ideas being left here with us. So we're going to do that while some of y'all are here, because we don't have that deep-rooted hatred. We just didn't come from there. And so we had to learn this from people that had it, but we didn't earn it on our own. So we're not going to let y'all bring that hatred into our world. And I think that's why people of all colors are marching, and they just marching all over the country. They doing, marching over, they saying Black Lives Matter over in Japan and everything. I mean, it's just like something I've never seen. Not saying I've seen everything, but at 70 years old, this is something I never seen. But I was told by my grandmother a world that was coming was going to be similar to this. And how did she know that? Because she always been in the spiritual vein. She always lived. She didn't talk about it. She showed it. She, was convinced that God was God, and that things that were going to happen would happen, and they have to happen. That's the fulfillment of the Bible. And the Bible last song is in 20. In other words, Revelation is up under the 20. So, people now trying to say, oh, this is happening because the world is finna come to end. Well, since no man or woman knows that date or time, and nobody has came here and told us when the world is gonna end, we're just living in a thought pattern of all these bad things happening. You can't tell the difference in the weather. It can be summer and it can be snowing somewhere. That's a mystery, and if you're not thinking about that, you really are not living your best life. Because even if you don't want to accept what's happening with other world things, like you were saying earlier about if there are people from outer space and everything, they're dealing with things that they know, but they can't come and tell us because we would fear that. We would fear somebody coming here talking to us that was from outer space, as they call it. And with so many people that said that they've seen this and been taken on ships and everything, I wasn't there. I can't say they did, and I can't say they didn't. I'm just not a person that's going to doubt anybody because I wasn't there. But I would think that there are many strange things happening here on Earth right now that we can't explain. And we should just open our mind and accept the fact we're not the only creatures here on Earth. There are other creatures here trying to stay away from us, but hoping we get it right. Because, you know, every world wants the world to live. Every country, people start hiring us to work in all kind of places where they can't even speak English, but they'll bring blues bands there and everything, and they enjoy it. And so I see it like this. Right now, we're in a fight to respect and survive. And till that happens, we got to deal with the consequence. And the consequence might not be too good, but I always say when people at a funeral crying for the people that's been passed on, that person laying in that coffin might be crying about us because they might now know what's actually going on. You know, sometimes we don't know what happened after death. And none of us will ever know, because when you leave here, you don't come back like that to tell nobody nothing. But, you know, I always say, you know, maybe the person laying in the coffin might be blessed because they getting away from some mess that, you know, that we got to live with.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful right there. You know, you talk about 2020 and Psalm 20, you know, it could be a new awakening for everyone. You know, maybe that's what we're going through right now, a new awakening of what we've been living through has been all wrong. You know, just even the way our society is working has been wrong, not equal for everyone. And that's not right, you know, and that's something that this old mentality, this antiquated mentality that's been in charge, they're dying out. And when you look at the young population, the youth, you know, we're becoming more mixed, and that's a good thing, you know. And
I mean, you know, you got mixed couples, you got mixed marriage that's done had kids that's mixed. I mean, why should they get hurt from old-fashioned belief because of what you think? And if you could actually prove that, maybe somebody would believe what you're saying. But see, you got to prove that this thing is wrong, that you're protesting. You got to prove to me that there's something wrong with me liking everybody, no matter what color they are. You got to prove to me when my daddy might have been black and my mama might have been white and had a baby, and prove to me I'm a bad person because I came from two races of people. That proves something right there, that two races of people could bring something forward. And that might end up being somebody like the president, which is what happened, you know?
Right.
So we really got to start thinking. We really got to start. First of all, you're not going to be free until you can bring love back. Love is love is actually the key to this thing. You know, everywhere in the Bible, it talks about love. Love is the key. It's the first rule of the commandments. So if we done lost that, we pretty much, you know, got to find our way back. And that's why I think my song, Find My Way Back Home, is going to be pretty good on the charts this year, because it wasn't my song, but it so happened to be a song that they gave me to sing, because that song said, come down off your throne and leave your body alone. Somebody gotta pay. I mean, I'm like, wait a minute. I think I got a song that represents what's happening in today's. So I'm not left out. I so happen to be singing an older song that speaks about our situation today. It's asking for you. You put yourself up there. Nobody put you up there. You think you're more than somebody and everything. So you've made yourself a God. Then you made the things that you wish a God. So you got to come down off that throne and realize you are nobody, because I saw this happen to my dad. He lived his most famous life, met presidents, popes, and just lived above what man could do. I mean, he even did more touring dates than anybody ever did. But when he got sick, he laid sick, he suffered, he went through the same thing Jesus went through, and then he messed around and died and couldn't take none of those precious things with him. Not his guitar. He wouldn't even have clothes on if somebody hadn't put them on him. And they were stealing and taking from him so bad, he almost didn't have that to put on. So I'm just saying that we have to realize there's something greater than us. And the greatest of all has been put up under the rug. And we're supposed to bypass that and still have a good life. There's no good without that G-O-D, okay? G-O-O-D is not good if we don't take G-O-D out of it. Hey, that sounds like a song. I think you gave me a, I think you gave me an idea to write another kind of song.
All right, I'll get this, throw me down some credits. I'll be happy.
Okay. But I think it's real what we're living through, and I think we have to be challenged, because I think we're hard-headed people that needs to be shown what we're doing wrong. And the young people are really coming together to kind of show us that in a little bit, because I wouldn't be marching, come out color, when I got, look out on the TV and see thousands of people marching in all colors marching. Something ain't right with that picture.
Right.
Something ain't. Yeah,
I think we've been given a lot of chances to improve ourselves and have dropped the ball many times, you know, and and I think with this age of technology and cameras watching and, you know, people seeing the real things that are happening to our fellow brothers and sisters, it's like, no, I'm not accepting that anymore. And we got to change. And I just hope and pray that that will happen for the better, for the betterment of everyone, for the betterment of humanity.
Well, I really believe that, because I'm so happy about this CD, and I'm getting so much of success and people are liking what I did. I'm so happy the misery around me is not totally affecting me right now, because it's not hitting me, because I done did something greater than I've ever did before. So I'm going to celebrate. Ain't nobody going to steal that from me. I'm sorry. Nobody going to steal my glory. Okay. The thing is that I live around people that's not doing as great as I am. So the misery is real for them. You know, I'm not going without food. I'm not, you know, my father left it where, you know, I can take care of myself a little bit. I'm not going through anything that makes me sit around and try to figure out how I'm going to live tomorrow, how I'm going to do, you know, not right now. Now, if it continue going on, I don't know what's going to happen. But right now, I'm not there. So I can see the glory of this. I can see what I need to do. I can't tell nobody what to do. I can't even tell my kids what to do. I only have two kids, and they both grown, with grandkids that's almost grown. One, my son, grandson is grown. He's 22. My granddaughter is 19. And she got a baby. I'm not around any of those people. So I can't even tell my own family what to do. But what I can, if they would listen to me, I would tell them to appreciate where they came from. Because the greater part of me was birthed through a man that went out here and showed the world how to be a respectful person, a humble person, how to be loving and work hard and, you know, and get along with everybody. These are the things that my father was. And sometimes when I'm talking about when I talk about my father, I feel like I'm talking about God to people, because people have put him on a pedestal where he's a God to them. But I let them know that my father always told me about the good part of life. He never talked about anything miserable happened to him as a kid. He didn't have a mother his young childhood days, and he turned out to be a pretty good person. And he raised himself. He learned how to adjust with his loneliness, because his mother died. 2 years later, his grandmother died, and he had no brothers and sisters. So the birds and the animals were his friends. And maybe that's what's happening to me now. I think I'm reincarnating my dad. You know, the birds are, you know, they pretty cool. You sit there and you look at them. They you know, they don't have nowhere to call home. But when you do something nice, they appreciate it. And they go and tell their little friend, now it looks like I got a bird farm out in the backyard. But it's cool. You know, I'm just going to buy some food so everybody can keep on eating. Long as I can afford to do that, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And keep on thanking God every day, no matter what my eyes see. I know in my spiritual mind, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God is still in control.
That's beautiful. I don't know what else to say after that. Shirley King, I don't know what else we can hit upon. If there's something else we want to talk about, the floor is yours. But I've kept you for a little longer than I maybe had you expected. But
we can't beautiful today. I was scared on this interview. I was like, what do I do? And you got me talking now, and I almost don't want to stop. I'm like, wait a minute. Now I'm gonna sleep with that thought. I'm gonna sleep with some heavy duty thoughts. I might be calling you again one day just to talk. I really am enjoying talking about God's creation, which is this world we live in, and the things of it that sometimes we don't want to admit. I'm enjoying this, and I really appreciate this interview. And hey, I think, like you said, I done talked enough now where I'm going to hang up the phone and be thinking. I'll probably bring some of this talking into the next interview because it's very interesting. Well, you know, if we think about things, they're not as strange as we think they are. We just need to talk about them so we can realize there is something going on that's deeper than the human eye can see.
Yeah, that's kind of why I started this program. I was doing a daily radio show in Phoenix, Monday through Friday, 3 hours a day, and I dedicated 1 hour to this type of conversation because for me, it's cathartic for me to talk about this too, because I don't know the answers either. And if I can talk it out with other people like-minded who are open-minded to these kind of conversations, it helps me as well. So, and I hope it helps other people listening to know that they're not alone and feeling alone, you know. And
you have to make sure that people know that they're not crazy, because when you talk a certain way, the main group of people gonna call you crazy.
Right.
And so, like I said, when I went to telling people the son was my daddy, now that he gone, he's the son, and they was kind of, you know, they wasn't calling me crazy on Facebook, but I noticed they wasn't coming. After a while, they opened up their spiritual eyes, and then they all went to tell me the bird came to visit them, a bee came. I mean, they start falling in place with knowing my loved one is coming back in the form of whatever I see the most of. And now I got people, hey, I see daddy out there. Hey, daddy's shining today. And I'm thinking, okay. So you do. You have to talk things where people that's like-minded want to talk about, might have been scared to talk about, because they don't want to be, you know, called crazy in this world. And that is what we protect ourselves from.
Okay, so one thing now, I'm not going to look at the sun the same way again. So I'm going to, just so you know.
When you look up there, just always know that Shirley Daddy is looking down on you, and he's saying, thank you for explaining some things to my daughter.
Well, it makes me feel good for that. And I, you know, bringing up the conversation, the subject, you know, people aren't ready for it. You can't be an extrovert and say, I believe in aliens. You believe in aliens? You know, you got to kind of bring it up in a quiet way, not to scare people off. But that's once true. You bring it up to someone, you'll be amazed on how open they are, or how much they've thought about this. They're just afraid to bring it out too, because they're not around someone who's bringing it up. So if they bring it up, they're going to feel insecure. So I don't have a problem, you know, when someone asks me, what do? I do a radio show about the strange and unusual. We talk aliens, UFOs, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they open up, probably not expecting to open up. But then before you know it, they're, you know, hey, Kev, I did see something, or this did happen to me. So I think more people are believing it. They just don't want to show that they believe it.
And they realize as being insane.
Right.
You know, that's like when somebody's depressed. They don't want nobody to really know that, because they don't want to be called crazy, you know?
Right.
So we living in a world where you are labeled from the way you think or what you do. And most people don't want that. So, no. I mean, but if you get a group of people in the room together and they hear somebody talking, they might have had a similar thing that happened to them, or they might believe this. And then you got like-minded people. But if you don't have like-minded people, somebody's gonna be sitting over there looking at you with their hand over their mouth like, somebody call the loony bin. Call well, them from the loony bin.
I'll tell you what, we call the loony bin, it's gonna be for them, not for us.
I know, but they don't know that. We are different. So like I said, I've enjoyed doing this interview with you, and I cannot wait, because John was like, well, you know, if you can, I said, oh, what are you doing? But now, when I do talk to him, like, man, we got to talk, and I almost couldn't get off the phone, because I was able to imp myself out, because I was talking to somebody that sees life as it really is. So I appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate those words. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and you keep that show going, because like I said, there are many people want to talk about their inner feeling, but it's not easy to do. And you know, if you get where somebody can let you do that, it empty your soul out where you can feel a little bit lighter, because our souls are heavy.
Yeah.
Our souls are heavy with all the things that's going on that we can't explain and everything. So I think, because I feel a little bit better now, I'm going to go and get me a little drink and sit out here and talk to my bird. And tell them what happened today.
I love it. I love it. Or I appreciate that.
Okay.
Shirley King, I can't express my thanks for you and your time for me with sharing your thoughts. And I wish you the best. And when this, you know, stay-at-home orders end and you're on the road traveling, I'm definitely going to come see you.
Okay. And I will be there to see you, because we'll do this live in the studio. I might have some things to even show off. Right now, this is like amazing, amazing, amazing. And when you think you're doing something that the whole world's going to look at you all strange, just put it out there. And then, you know, you'll see people not as far off of what you believe as you think they are, because they experience, but they don't want to talk about it, because nobody wants to be called crazy.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's a bad reputation for that. But then if somebody's bold enough to talk, you will find you have other people that feel the same way. You will.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what I want the show to be, is for people, for a, you know, I don't say really a safe space, but more or less a place where they can feel comfortable and know that they're not alone.
And somebody will listen to them. That's very important.
Right on.
So, I appreciate you for having this kind of show. And like I said, I might be calling you again one day if I feel like something needs to be talked about. I'll be calling.
I appreciate that. I'll be looking forward to that. Blues for a King is your latest album that just dropped. And good luck with it. And congratulations on it.
Thank you so much. And God bless you. Take care.
Thanks, Shirley. I appreciate that.
All right.
Bye now. So much positivity coming through that phone. I felt the energy just come alive. It was great to talk to Shirley King. And like we talked about her song, Can't Find My Way Home, well, let's jam it right now. This is featuring guitarist Martin Barr from Jethro Tull right here on the Mothership Radio Show. Shirley King from her album Blues for a King, Can't Find My Way Home, a Blind Faith song, by the way, featuring guitarist Martin Barr from Jethro Tull. I want to thank Shirley King for that fun interview. I could tell you just how much fun it was, and the enthusiasm and energy I got from her, the positivity just bleeding through the phone was enough, and I hope you guys caught a little bit of that as well. She has a memoir of her father that dropped in 2017, entitled Love is King, so maybe you want to check that out when you have some time. Remember, the full interview can be heard at themothershipradioshow.com, as well as other podcast platforms like Spotify, iTunes, and Anchor FM, just to name a few. So until next week, I'm Kevin Gassman here on the Mothership Radio Show, reminding you to stay strange and unusual.
Thank you, and keep watching the skies.